Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for June 7th, 2011. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll take a look at the energy market with Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. And we'll look at the key growing areas across the Corn Belt, as well as have a conversation with Don Day about agricultural growing conditions. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Here's how futures settled this Tuesday afternoon in Kansas City. July wheat, 875 down 15. September, 894 and three quarters down 14. December, 918 and a half down 11 and a half. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 733 and three quarters down 10 and a quarter. September, 780 and a half down 9 and three quarters. December, 837 down 6. July corn, 736 and a half up 4 and a half. September, 717 up 5 and a half. December, 676 and a half up 9 and a half. March of next year, 688 and a half up 10 and a half. May at 696 and a quarter up 11. July soybeans, 1394 up 10 and 3 quarters. August, 1388 up 10 and a quarter. September, 1387 up 13 and a quarter. November, 1385 and a quarter up 12 and a half. January, 1392 and 3 quarters up 12 and a half. March, 1392 and 3 quarters up 14 and a quarter. July soybean meal, 368 up 860. July soybean oil, 5793 down 10. June live cattle, 103.47 and a half up 107 and a half. August feeders, 125.12 and a half up 102 and a half. June lean hogs, 89.62 and a half down 7 and a half. And that's today's settlements in Kansas City and in Chicago.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Thursday, USDA is releasing its latest crop production report for the wheat crop and its latest projections for U.S. ending stocks this year and next on corn, soybeans, and wheat. Don't miss out on our analysis. Sign up today for our Will Ag e-newsletter. It's our free publication that brings you an inside and comprehensive look at what the reports mean to the futures market. Signing up for the letter is easy. Just go to our website at willag.org. In the right navigational window, you will find a link to subscribe to our agricultural newsletter. Week in and week out, we bring you the fundamentals and technicals that are moving the market, and it's all free. Sign up today. Again, it's at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Dave.
Don't usually start with the wheat in Minneapolis, but I think it should be noted that it closed down the 60-cent per bushel trading limit today.
You know, we saw a real run-up of people caught in a very thin market up there, Dave. A lot of people that had to get out, and they got out and paid the big premium for it the other day. And now that they're out, why, that market does seem to be retreating quite fast. That's why a lot of us don't recommend trading the Minneapolis wheat because of the thin, thin volume.
Turn our attention to corn and beans, which had a nice little rally going today.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, it was a little lower volume trade today, but, you know, a couple things happened. I think that, number one, we overdid things yesterday in the sell-off. Number two, the dollar index hit a one-month low. You know, a Chinese official warned that the country, that China held excess U.S. dollar assets. And it looks like we're going to continue to pursue a weak dollar policy. That's what's expected to come out when Bernanke talks later this afternoon, that's how we're going to continue to keep things rolling here, and how we'll be able to go into maybe QE3 or something along that lines, too, or something. But rally in the S&Ps today and then the stock market and the Dow, a lot of it caused by that. And that, of course, seen a little bit of insurgence back into the commodities, and we saw a little bit of pop buying right on the close in both corn and the beans. And of course, we're looking ahead to that report that you were talking about on Thursday.
You mentioned the U.S. dollar and that it has been softer in the last few days. Do you think that the Fed has really run out of tricks that it has up its sleeve, or beyond just printing more money?
Oh, boy, that's a big one, Dave, and I don't know the answer to it. I'll be very honest. I don't think Washington knows the right answer to throw at it out here and what's going to work and what will continue to work down the road. We know that some things work for some things, that they don't work for everything along the way, and that's one of the big problems we have out there, is knowing what to do to make this economy bounce back and start improving. And one of the things we have to do is somehow generate more jobs for people.
I want to put QE2 then, or QE3, the new one potentially, on the table. Then what might it mean for commodities?
Well, I think, you know, the weaker dollar generally means inflationary commodities, because people do, they can buy grain more, and the world is such as out there, and they want more and better food. So it, that in general has been a rally like we saw today.
It also means that oil is easier to purchase. And I noted this afternoon that Japan and other countries are saying that they're going to need more oil. And that was a report that was being agreed on by the U.S. government. So we have OPEC deciding whether or not they need to produce more oil. They're already above their production limits by about 1.5 million barrels a day. And it looks like they may need even to increase it even more than that.
Yeah, and as you know, we've looked here, we're just about $1.80 off our low in the crude oil as to where we were at one point early this morning already on those sort of announcements, Dave. So crude oil has turned around and is trading a little bit higher on the day now.
Let's turn your attention to that WASD report. And as you looked at all the numbers from the analysts, the average guesses, what jumped out at you?
Well, I think, as we look here, the average guess for the ending stocks for this year reduced. It's at 706, so the May estimate of the USDA was 730. And, of course, we talked about this morning was the aggressive use of corn for ethanol, our exports not falling off, rate bad, and, of course, our feed usage. So all those numbers go to make for a tighter beginning stocks for next year as far as we look at that. And just on the opposite side of that, we see a 6 million bushel gain for the average guess as far as we look at the soy stocks, because the crush has been down and we haven't been near as aggressive there.
Do you think that there are numbers that are so low that in ending stocks at USDA won't publish them?
You know, they have never published below what they consider pipeline stocks, Dave, and they say that they don't know why, but they know that there'll be some sort of rationing that does happen because the pipeline can only get so empty. Have we really got down to the levels below what they consider pipeline? We think they have at times, but in all honesty, we have to agree that there has to be about so much left. If the car's going to keep running, there's got to be at least a quarter of a gallon of gasoline.
Why haven't these higher prices essentially rationed old crop to the degree that people thought it might had?
Well, I think that we have rationed some. I mean, it's just if we'd actually kept up at the pace we were going, we'd been way below these levels. And I think that we have seen some things cut back. We have not seen we were at the level we expected for corn exports this week, but we weren't at the level we needed to be to keep up from what the government's totally projected for the year. We have seen beans, once they got so high and the South American crop come on, we are gaining stocks there as far as that goes. But as far as the corn goes, it's awfully hard to take a 800-pound steer and tell him you're not going to feed him. I mean, once he's on feed, basically you get to feed him out. So the feed usage is going to continue until our next cycle of cattle and hogs. And as far as the exports right now, we have to remember with our dollar shrinking, some of these other countries as China, when we do see dips, does step back in and buy.
Anything else before we let you go this afternoon that's really important to mention?
Everybody stay safe out in the heat, and we'll be looking for that big report Thursday morning.
Thanks much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. USDA reports that 94% of the corn crop is planted for the week ending June 5th, compared with 86% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 98%. 79% of the corn crop has emerged versus 66% last week, and the five-year average of 90%. Corn conditions, 2% very poor, 4% poor, 27% fair, and 67% good to excellent. That's 4% higher than a week ago. Soybeans are 98% planted versus 51% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 82%. 44% of the soybean crop has emerged versus 29% last week, and the five-year average of 61%. Here are the particulars for the key corn and soybean growing states.
This is Greg Tayson, Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 5, 2011. Warmer weather and sunshine prompted substantial crop growth and relief from windy conditions allowed spraying, although many farmers are still waiting for an opportunity to spray their crops. Farmers who operate near the Missouri River are keeping watchful eyes on the river level as some move grain and machinery to higher ground in preparation for the worst. Weekly rainfall totals were on the light side over most of Iowa, with the exception of the southeast one-third of the state. Statewide average precipitation for the week at 0.69 inches was well below normal, while temperatures averaged 5.6 degrees above normal. There were 4.3 days suitable for field work statewide during the past week. Southeast Iowa had only 1.6 days suitable, while Northeast Iowa had 5.4 days suitable. Nearly all of Iowa's corn acreage and 94% of the soybean acreage has been planted, both on par with the normal pace, although planting progress in south-central Iowa still lags behind the rest of the state. The warmer weather and sunshine promoted crop growth and emergence, with 96% of the corn emerged and 78% of the state's soybean crop has emerged, ahead of the five-year average of 74%. The corn crop condition is reported at 81% good to excellent, and this year's first estimate of soybean condition shows 79% of that crop rated good to excellent. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions. Plenty of sunshine with above normal temperatures and below normal precipitation made for near ideal growing conditions across most of Illinois. Temperatures averaged 76 degrees, which was 8.1 degrees above normal, while rainfall came in at 71 one-hundredths of an inch, or 21 one-hundredths below normal for the seven-day period ending June 5th. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 551, which was 23 units ahead of the historic average. Corn planting is nearing completion at 98%. This compares to 100% planted last year and 96% for the five-year average. 90% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 97% last year and 89% for the five-year average. The average height of all corn in the state was 9 inches. This compares to 16 inches 1 year ago and 12 inches for the five-year average. 66% of the corn crop was rated in either good or excellent condition, unchanged from a week earlier. Soybean planted ended the week at 78% complete, compared to 81% planted on this date last year and 76% for the five-year average. 53% of the crop was reported emerged, compared to 66% 1 year ago and 56% for the five-year average. 61% of the soybean crop was rated in either good or excellent condition. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 93% of the heads filled, compared to 79% 1 year ago and 77% for the five-year average. 48% of the heads were reported turning yellow, compared with 42% last year and 44% normally. 2% of the crop was reported ripe, compared to 4% for the five-year average. 56% of the wheat crop was rated in either good or excellent condition, down 3 points from a week earlier. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAF's Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 5, 2011. Several field crops plantings advanced significantly or neared completion this past week as lower rainfall amounts and the warmest temperatures of the season, particularly in southern Minnesota, allowed producers a statewide average of 4.3 days rated suitable for field work. Soybeans advanced 22 percentage points to 75% planted, with 38% of the crop emerged. Corn planting neared completion at 95% planted. 79% of the corn crop had emerged, with 61% rated in good condition. 82% of the spring wheat and 84% of the barley was emerged, with 9 and 4% jointing respectively. Oats were 84% emerged, with 12% jointing. Crop conditions for all three small grains were rated in primary good condition. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 5, 2011. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana. Planting of corn proceeded with a vengeance from sunup to sundown as farmers raced to finish before the insurance cutoff date. This year's high input cost gave farmers an added sense of urgency, and many switched to shorter season varieties with the hope to beat the frost this fall. Some of the low-spot soils are the wettest and slowest to dry, despite the weather skipping directly from spring and going into summer-like temperatures. Farmers reported some wet fields will remain idle this year, and they will be forced to take preventive planting insurance. A late Saturday storm only added to farmers' troubles as the heavy rains and high winds caused some reports of crop damage. Despite the farmers' best efforts, corn planting is about 24 days behind last year's record pace, 9 days behind the five-year average. Planting of soybeans is running about 13 days behind last year and 11 days behind the average. For the week, 5 days were rated as suitable for field work. 82% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, behind last year's 97% and 94% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 82% has been planted in the north, 85% in the central region, and 77% in southern Indiana. 57% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, well behind the 91% recorded for last year and the 83% for the five-year average. 49% of the intended soybean acreage has been planted, compared with 79% for last year and 77% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 51% of the soybeans have been planted in the north, 52% in the central region, and 41% in southern Indiana. 26% of the planted soybean acreage has emerged, behind the 67% recorded for last year and the 57% for the five-year average. 93% of the winter wheat acreage is headed, compared with 96% for last year and the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated at 58% good to excellent, compared to 70% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
This is the Closing Market Report. Joining us now with energy analysis is Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Harry.
Well, good afternoon there. Hot one out there.
Very hot indeed. Boy. And what else has been hot recently has been the crude oil market, and
right.
It actually popped upwards today.
It did. We had a little rebound bounce in the crude oil market. Crude oil has sold off for several days here, we've got below $100 on the end of the trade there yesterday. We just popped a little bit today. Sometimes they talk about a turnaround Tuesday effect. We closed lower yesterday, so we came back and just were slightly higher today. I think some of the action on the upside today in crude oil was based off the dollar, which was down. And when the dollar's down, tends to take and gives a little boost to crude oil and other commodities. But also the stock market took a little bounce today after being down for several days in a row. So that's kind of another reason for some of the strength here today in the crude oil.
OPEC is trying to meet and decide whether or not to increase production for crude. If you add up all the countries, they're already about 1.5 million barrels a day above their stated projection levels.
And that meeting is tomorrow overseas. We'll see. They haven't made any changes for a couple of years now. At some point, I'm sure they will surprise us and make an output increase. My guess is that they will not make an output increase, but we'll just have to see on that. Like I say, I have been telling a lot of people that, one of these times we'll expect it, or we'll get one at least, and so we'll just have to see if this is it or not. My guess is it's not, but they are real worried about oil prices over $100, and why they're concerned about it is because it'll curtail the world economies and then put a further crimp on oil prices. So they kind of like it up here in this 80 to 90 to almost 100, but once it starts getting over 100, I think they get kind of nervous themselves.
Why are propane stocks not building?
Well, propane stocks need to build. You have a good question there. Propane stocks need to build about 1.5 million or 2 million barrels a week, and we're exporting a lot of propane. Other countries around the world have a higher price for propane than the U.S. does, so consequently, it pays to ship it out of the Gulf Coast region and go to other countries. Also, the petrochem demand down in the Gulf Coast is showing somewhat of a strong economy here in the U.S. that's using quite a bit. Some of these refineries have had glitches around the U.S. here in the past month or two, and half our propane comes from the crude oil refining process. So there's several reasons why we haven't. If I was an end user, I definitely want to be talking to my local FS member company and talk about what contracting programs they have available, because so far at least we're getting a little bit nervous, not a lot, but a little bit nervous about these lack of real good builds in the propane stocks.
We have about 30, 35 seconds left. Let's talk about gasoline a little bit. Since May 1st, prices at the pump have gone down a couple double digits, 13, 14, 16 cents, somewhere in there.
Right. I think they have more downside to go here in the near term. We got some refineries back in the Chicagoland that services the Illinois market back online this week after some glitches. And so I think we'll start seeing pump prices come down. They could come down between now and a week from now. They could come down 10 to 20 cents or so. So I think we have some room on the downside here in the pump prices, and then we'll just have to watch for refinery glitches the rest of the summer.
Thanks, Harry.
Thank you.
That's Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Illinois. And in 2 minutes, I'll be back with a look at agricultural weather. It's National Chocolate Ice Cream Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, Bernhard Bang was born. A Danish veterinarian, he discovered the bacteria that caused contagious abortion in cattle. His teachings, along with the introduction of antiseptics, was a huge step forward in veterinary surgery. Bang was instrumental in showing that tuberculosis could be transmitted by cow's milk and in developing isolation techniques. He was the first to use tubercillin on cattle as a way of discovering which cows needed to be culled from herds. And he was among the first to create clean breeding centers for cattle. In 1886, Richard Hoe died, an American inventor. He developed and manufactured the first successful rotary printing press. In 1935, Ivan Michurin died, a Russian horticulturalist. He was responsible for crossbreeding over 300 new types of fruit trees and berries, some of which could survive harsh Russian winters. His ideas on hybrids that acquired characteristics or inherited eventually became state doctrine and was held as a uniquely communist approach to agriculture. In 1939, grapefruit-sized hail killed hundreds of farm animals in Rock County, Minnesota. And in 1914, Alliance became the first vessel to pass through the Panama Canal. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Want to begin today, I think, on the international front and touch on some of the areas that have been concern in recent weeks. And let's begin with Western Australia. Any potential progress there from the drought conditions that they have been experiencing?
Not really. The shower activity that's going to be closest to there will be more towards central Australia, at least in the next week. Now, next week, there is a system that may bring some areas of far west and southwest Australia some precipitation, but it's in the longer term, shorter term forecast is still dry.
Parts of China has also been a concern, and I guess I'm thinking around a Yangtze River basin.
Well, there is a better prospect for rain there, as well as many of the key growing areas of China in the next week to 10 days. The areas that are going to be a little bit dry will be some of the northern and northwest areas, but optimistic that things in China looking a little bit more moist with a fairly active pattern there the next week.
Maybe the most optimistic of the international areas that have been having problems is parts of the European Union, maybe especially France?
France looks better. In fact, they've got excellent rain chances nationwide, as well as portions of Spain, the UK, Germany, all of the basically Western and Central Europe looks like good chances over the next week or two for some cooler and wet weather. And we'll throw in the Ukraine as well. The Ukraine and some portions of the Western portions of Russia going to do much better in terms of having some much better rain chances. Many other areas of Russia still a little bit on the dry side. But over Europe, conditions are looking better, especially when it comes to the chances of rain.
Let's turn our attention then to the U.S. and the corn and soybean belt, which, as I'm looking at it anyway, conditions are pretty favorable for growing for the next little bit of time.
Well, yeah, and luckily this spell of warmer, drier weather has dried things out a little bit in some areas, but we are going to get back into a pattern that may get a little wet again. While we may not have any real concentrated areas of heavy rain, it looks like most of Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, looking at very good chances in the next 10 days for at least getting normal, if not to a little bit of normal precipitation. This is something we see developing, especially this weekend and next week. There's going to be a bit more in the way of an active shower or thunderstorm pattern. So that is something we'll need to watch. I could see some areas of the central and western corn belt maybe getting a little damp by the middle to the end of next week.
Talk a little bit about the spring wheat areas, which have been significantly behind in planting.
Well, there is going to be a little bit of help, but there's still going to be some problems with some shower and thunderstorm activity, especially in the northern areas of spring wheat. that area is still going to be a little bit on the cool side and a little bit on the wet side. And this is something that may continue on at least through the middle of June.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
That's Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter. You can do that at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. This is Dave Dickey.